Yes, it's that time, and I don't know about you, but I have noticed that the traffic is getting busier. Everywhere I go seems to take a little bit longer, and there are people who have already begun their Christmas shopping, and so it is that time of year. And I want you to think about this. Last year, the Americans spent nearly, just in the months of November and December, nearly, anybody want to take a guess? How much? How much? 3 million? 3 trillion? Billion. Billion. That was a good guess. But the answer is $1 trillion in November and December. No wonder the stores are putting up Christmas displays in October, for it's the happiest time of the year, right? $1 trillion. Can you imagine what we do with, or what we could do with $1 trillion? I want to throw out another number for you tonight. 60 billion. 60 billion. That is what it was estimated by NBC that Americans spent on their pets last year. 60 billion. I'm getting some thumbs up, like that was a good use of that 60 billion, you know. But some of you are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Yeah, 60 billion for dogs. Got any dog lovers? Cats, gerbils, mice, snakes. Yeah. You know, but for all of our pets, $60 billion. And why? They didn't do anything to earn it. We went out and probably bought them. We paid for them. Yeah, well, I know. We're going somewhere with this, Ashley. Hang with me, okay? All right. She's definitely an animal lover, and she's a foster mom and all that with the pets, and so she thinks $60 billion might be a little bit low. But my whole point is, we go out and spend this amount of money, and they don't do anything to deserve it. They don't earn it in any way. But why do we do it? It's because we just simply love them. We love the pets. And now I know the pet lovers are saying, yeah, we get something back out of it. But I'm trying to get somewhere, if you'll let me, okay? But I want you to think about this as not having to earn it, and yet having that love that's bestowed upon them anyway. All right, maybe you can see where we're going now. And as we even think about it, for those of you who are parents, or maybe it's even sweeter when you're grandparents, to have that doctor hand you that newborn born child, that first child, son, daughter, grandson, granddaughter, and says, this is your child. There's something that just overtakes you and says, mine, and don't hurt this child. This child belongs to me. And if we as human beings can have this kind of love for a little child who hasn't done anything but cause mommy problems for the last 9 months, but it's a part of us. It's a part of who we are. And we love them with this unconditional love. But if we who are parents and grandparents can have this kind of love, we have to ask that question, where does that kind of love come from? It comes from our Heavenly Father. We just sang a song about Emmanuel. Remember what Emmanuel means? God with us. Emmanuel, come down. Send your love down. And that's exactly what we're doing when we celebrate Christmas, is that 2,000 years ago, God sent love down in the form of His Son, His only begotten Son, that we might be forgiven of our sins, and that we might have new life, and that we can live into the love that He has given to us. Now, we will do crazy things for love. Amen? If your spouse is here, turn around and look at him. It's like, okay, drop the mic. Boom, I'm done. I'm out. Yeah. No, we do crazy things for love because it's a part of us. It's a part of who we are. And if you're new to this whole idea and understanding of Christmas, then I want you to understand is that we were created out of love. by a loving Heavenly Father who loves us, cares about us, created us, and then sent His Son to sacrifice for us so that we might be with Him forever and ever. If you don't get anything else tonight, I just want you to hear this. We invite you to journey along with us, the star being our guide, the light being our guide, and leads us to the understanding of God's love at Christmas time. I want to share our passage this morning, or this evening. It comes from John chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verses 1 through 12. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life shines was the light of men, and that light shines in the darkness, but darkness has not understood it. And there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world, and he was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, so let's take a look at our outline this evening if you'd like to fill in some of the blanks along the way. And the first thing we want to talk about is love was there from the start. Love from the very beginning. In Genesis, we are told that God created ex nihilo. Out of nothing, He created the heavens and the earth. But we get a bigger picture, a more detailed, when we come into the New Testament, when we look here in the Gospel of John, and I have to just confess, it's one of my favorites. John is different from the other three Gospel writers, and he starts out with this passage, and he really starts with the foundation, which is the love. But he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were created by Him. And without Him, nothing was made. And what I want you to understand, if you didn't have your passages with you, that every time John spoke about the Word, it was capitalized. It's the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to just get you to think about something for just a minute. How do we divide time according to history? We have two parts to it. We have B.C. and A.D. What does B.C. stand for? What does A.D. stand for? No. How many of you know? Yeah, there it is. Anno Domini. That's Latin for in the year of our Lord. But it's easier for Americans to say after death, so that's why we repeat it quite often. But it's before Christ and then in the year of the Lord, meaning when He came. And that's how we divide time. That's how we divide history. But I want you to think about something, because apparently not everybody gets this and understands this. They think that Jesus just kind of appeared, that God created Him 2,000 years ago. And what I want to talk to you about tonight, your big theological word, is the pre-existence of Christ. So Jesus was incarnate 2,000 years ago, but that was not His beginning. Because when we learn here in John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus Christ. The Word was with God. The Word, Jesus, created everything, and without Him, nothing was made. And if you also in Genesis, you'll read about the creation story. It says the Spirit was hovering over the waters. And so this is where we begin to put together our understanding of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Son, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, always has been. Mind blown. So now whenever somebody says B.C., you go, you know, that's not actually correct. I learned in church that there never was a time when he was not. There was never a time before Christ, because he's the pre-existent Christ, the one that was there at the beginning and the one who was participating in the creation of the world. Amen? All right, number two is love as the light. And so last week we talked about the light of the star that showed the way for the wise men. They came from far off in the east and they saw this weird star that they couldn't explain. And they knew that something magnificent had happened. And they followed that star and it led them to the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And so we're following that star. But this light is the capital light. The capital L for light is the light of the world. It is Jesus Christ. And as we're talking about his love, we're going to get real with you for just a few moments. Have you ever had trouble loving God? Now, you might just quickly say, no, I've never had trouble loving God. But then there's sometimes when something happens that's out of the ordinary or outside of our will, and suddenly we're angry with God. And we say, how could you? How could you do this? How could you take him, her, not save, not do, not protect, not... And so we have this mixture of emotions, and if we're honest, we'll say, yeah, there's some times where we have failed to love God. And I would submit to you this evening that it's basically because we don't really understand God. We don't understand his workings through the universe and in the world. But if you don't walk away with anything else tonight, I want you to know is how much God does for our sake and for our benefit and for our benefit of the world. And even as we try to parent our children with that perfect love, sometimes we make mistakes, but God never makes mistakes. And so it's okay to say, God, I don't understand. And yet I still continue to put my faith and my trust in you. I like what I was talking with a lady in our church this past week, and she shared a story about her grandson. Said it's just kind of weird that even how the young children even seem to get it, sometimes even more so than the adults. And she was bringing him home from school, and he seemed to be really upset about something, and he was having trouble verbalizing and putting into words what he was feeling. And she said, well, buddy, what's going on? What's going on that's got you so upset? He says, it's my mind. He says, in my mind, I know what I'm supposed to do, but my head won't let me do it. Ever been in there? And it became a great teachable moment because she was able to say, you know, buddy, there was a man who felt exactly like that. His name was Paul, and he wrote it down in the Bible. Why do I do the things that I don't want to do? And the very things I want to do, I don't do. Sometimes we have this internal battle, the duality of man, this good and evil that's fighting within us. And sometimes we know the right thing, and we know what we're supposed to think, and we know what we're supposed to believe, but our feelings won't let us do it. And so we have this tension. But what I want you to understand out of this is that is the love of God that's at battle with the evil that's in us and around us. And there is a battle for our very souls that's going on. But if you get the first one right, an understanding the love of God and that he sent his love down in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that he does everything for our good and for our benefit, then we can also see that his love is the light of the world, and we are drawn to it in relationship with him. And then finally, in number three, is love overflows. How many of you love your families? Not rhetorical. Way too many not hands up at this point. Okay, yeah, there we go. It's really faster if you participate, okay? Yeah, help me out with that. How many of you love your families after 3 days of living with them in the same house? Yeah. Okay. Obviously, you're super Christians because Ben Franklin said, fish and guests both stink after 3 days. You just have your own way of living, and when you have even people that you love, but after a while, just kind of like, okay, you love to see them come, and you love to see them go, right? All right. But that's our human kind of love, and that's because we're still in these kind of bodies that still get tired, and we need rest, and we need relaxation, and we need to be able to restore and to reboot. But that's that imperfect kind of love that we have. We can always love somebody without having to like them. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. So we've established that. But tonight, what I want to talk to you about is a deeper kind of love. It's the kind of agape love. It is the unconditional love of God. And when we talk about, during the service today, we shared the 23rd Psalm. And David said, my cup overflows. When we spend time with God is when we are filled up so much with the love of God that it overflows. And loving our neighbors, loving our friends, loving our children, our spouses, our parents, our families, and yes, even the people within the church, and yes, even the people outside of the church. It doesn't become a chore because it's the unconditional agape love. When we wrap our minds around how much God loves us, that He created us out of love and for love, and that Jesus came to be the light of the world. He said, you know, I am the light of the world. He said, believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And so He came to be the light of the world. And as we begin to wrap our minds around that, then we begin to spend more time with Him and time in the Bible, time in His Word, and time in prayer, and time in church. And we begin to get immersed in that unconditional love of God. And then when we spend that time with God, then His love fills us up from the very inside out. And His love overflows from us into the world. So I want you to think about that tonight as we continue this journey, following the star to Christmas, following the star to hope, following the star to the love of God. And I pray that every one of you here knows and has experienced the love of God. And then as we spend this time with Him and worship Him, then I pray during this Christmas season that we would not get tired, that we would not run on empty, that we would be so filled with the agape love of Christ, that the spirit of Christmas would spill over from us into those around us. Amen.